with news of great joy. Fear not, have no fright, for in Bethlehem this day born to you, Messiah the Lord, a Savior most true.
Then all the great host with one voice did say, all glory to God in the highest today. On earth peace, goodwill toward men they did shout, for faithful is God, his promise don't doubt.
So love God the world, he gave us his Son, to cleanse all our sin and our hearts be one. The Father adopts us, his children are we. His Son paid our sin debt, and now we are free. The shepherd exclaims, let's see all the things that to Bethlehem search for their king. Found Mary and Joseph and Jesus the babe, a manger his cradle God's Son sent to save.
And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying as told them of Jesus by God. And just like the shepherds, amazed all they told of Jesus our Savior, let's tell, let's be bold.
For love God the world, he gave us his Son, to cleanse all our sin and our hearts be one. The Father adopts us, his children are we. His Son paid our sin debt, and now we are free.
Okay, good morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Bet you couldn't guess that. Luke chapter 2. We'll go over there today. There's other places we could go on a Christmas Day message too, but not just Luke 2 and Matthew 2. Well, I have to start off by saying Pastor really wanted to be here. They were really disappointed that they could not make it for this morning. And how did he put it? He said, please give the folks my deepest apologies. They had the flight cancel on them and were trying to do everything they could to be here for this morning, but the Lord had a different plan and they accepted that. I accepted that, and we'll just all accept that, as this is what the Lord had for us today, and that's okay. They are getting over some sickness also. My family's still under the weather a little bit, so I won't shake your hand afterwards, okay? But I'm glad you're here, and that we can celebrate the Lord's birth together this Christmas morning. I'd like to hear that song several more times. There were some neat words in there, and I was trying to get the full message of the song, but I think it was lining up a lot with what I'd like to share with you this morning, at least the one verse that I was zeroing in on. We'd like to talk about the first witnesses this morning from Luke chapter 2. Who are the first witnesses? Well, of course, they were the shepherds. I would say that the angels were the messengers. Maybe you want to debate that later, I don't know. But the witnesses, the ones who went and saw it, what the news was all about, the first ones were the shepherds that we see in the Bible. And so Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 is what I'd like to focus on this morning. And the message that I want you to take away from this time in the Word of God is how we must follow the example of the first witnesses to Christ's birth. We need to follow their example, and we have some obligations that we need to fulfill in our lives as well, to be witnesses for our Lord. So let's look in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The first witnesses here we read about how they were given a message that starry night out while they were tending to their sheep. That message was to go and find this thing that had happened, find this baby that was born, that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, go and find this sight, behold it, and then tell others about it. And that's exactly what we see that they did. They got this good news from the Lord. They recognized, how could you not when the angel's talking to you, but they recognized, here's something God is trying to show us. And they took it as a message from the Lord. They went and they sought it out, and then they went and shared it with others. And that's an example for us to follow. We have opportunity with family this day or yesterday or the coming days. We have opportunity with friends and neighbors to be witnesses for our Lord. Number one, I want us to notice simply this morning that these were some simple witnesses. These weren't well-educated people. These weren't the politicians of the day. They weren't the religious leaders of the day. They weren't some white-collared workers or something. No, these were simple people. And that encourages me today because I can be pretty simple sometimes. In fact, I prefer that. I don't like to have to be complicated. I like simple things. And when God's called me to be a witness, I'm thankful that he didn't call me to have to be a very popular person to do it. Now, he can use a popular person, but he didn't have to make me into a popular person to be a witness for him. He didn't have to give me lots and lots of education. I didn't have to have lots of education to be a witness for the Lord. I can just be a simple witness. And that's exactly what they were here. They weren't the religious leaders. They weren't those in the government. They were just simple shepherds. And that's who God gave the message to. And it reminds me how Jesus chose the same thing when he was picking his disciples. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, it says, And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And we could think about all the other disciples as well that Jesus chose. Many who followed the Lord were just simple people, regular people like you and I. And I'm thankful that God uses simple people. Jesus used simple people in his ministry. God used simple people here to bear the witness that he had for the world, the message he had for the world. And God uses simple to accomplish his work in our day as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it says, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What we're doing right here is a very simple thing. We're looking to see what God said in his word, and then we're sharing it with one another, and we're saying, here's what it says. This isn't what I'm saying. This is what God said. And a simple truth that we see here is that he used simple witnesses, and also God says there in the other portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians, that God uses simple preaching to accomplish his will. This kind of thing that a lot of people maybe would look at and say, that's kind of foolish. What's fun about sitting there hearing a preacher rattle on about different things? What's fun about that? And the answer is, well, it's not fun, okay? That's not the point. We're here to hear a message from God. And so God uses what some would say foolish preaching to accomplish his work. But it says later in that passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You see, that's why God uses simple witnesses. That's why God uses the simple to accomplish his work. Because those who are wise in their own eyes, those who think that they have it all together in life, they're confounded when they realize, here's just a simple message, and I missed that. I thought I had it all together, but then God shows them, nope, you missed it. It's much simpler than that. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So be encouraged. God can use you. God can use you to be a witness for him. He uses simple to accomplish his work. Simple witnesses there in the Christmas story, those shepherds, also shared a simple message. I'm thankful that the gospel is not a complicated message. I'm thankful that it is a simple message. And the ones that they received, the message they received from the angels, was simply, go and find this baby. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. They laid him in a manger. Go and behold it. It wasn't a complicated message. And the message that God has for the world today, the good news, the gospel, that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, came to this earth, was born, the whole Christmas story, and then he lived a perfect life. He came with a purpose to die for the sins of the world. He rose again. That story of the gospel, that message, is a simple message. It's not complicated. I'll speak about this later, but you don't have to do a list of 100 things to receive it. Praise the Lord. It's a simple message. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not very complicated. That is very simple. You just believe. You have to understand that you have a major problem in your life, problem of sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God knew that about you, and that's why from the very beginning of time, before the beginning of time, he had a plan to fix your sin problem, and he sent Jesus to fulfill that plan. His only begotten Son, God himself, came to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. So you would not perish. You could have everlasting life. How do you receive that simple message? Believe, the Bible says. Simply believe. So we see, number one, that the shepherds, they knew a lot about sheep, but probably not a lot about much else. They were, number one, simple witnesses. And we can be a witness for the Lord as well. Number two, notice, though, that they were convinced witnesses. They were convinced of this message even before they saw it with their own eyes. Look at verses 15 through 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So there was not a hesitancy or a doubt for these shepherds. They were convinced and they went to see. How convinced are you of the message that God has commissioned you to take to the world? Is there any doubt in your mind about it? Have you taken it for your own? Have you believed yourself, and are you convinced of the message? These were convinced witnesses that night. They recognized that the Lord was trying to give them a message that night. You see, there they were with their sheep, and as the Bible seems to describe it, suddenly there was an angel, and the angel was talking to them. I don't know if it was directly up in the sky or if it was kind of across the field or where exactly and what it looked like, but there was an angel, and it was spectacular. And pretty soon later, after the message had been given, there were many angels, and what a sight it had to be to behold. But one thing that they noticed was, God's trying to get our attention here. God's trying to show us this. And in verse 15, they recognize that. They said, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Here is a message from God. And that's something that we can learn from in our lives. Friend, recognize when God is trying to show you something. It may not be an angel. It may not be something spectacular like this. But how sensitive are you to God's Spirit? When God is pointing out something in your life that needs to change, do you recognize that? When God is trying to show you something and say, I want you to go here with your life, or I'm trying to lead you in this direction, do you recognize that? Recognize when God is trying to show you something. I'm afraid that maybe many of us make our own decisions instead of letting God make our decisions. God's trying to show us this. He's trying to show us that. He's trying to get through to us, but we're so quick to maybe make up our minds. We're so quick to decide this is how it's going to be when we've not taken the time to hear the message that the Lord's trying to get to us. Recognize when God is trying to show you something. You may be here today and you're not right with the Lord. And God's been trying to do some things in your life to get your attention. Would you recognize this morning that God is trying to show you something? Would you turn back to Him? It may not be a sky full of angels. It may be just a word that somebody speaks in passing to you. It may be more of a catastrophic event in your life that God uses to try to show you something. Whatever it may be, what do you do with it is the question. Will you pause in your life and recognize God's message? They certainly did. They couldn't help it very much. I don't know what happened to their sheep, if they scattered or what, but it had to be a sight to behold, and they paused and recognized God is trying to show us something. And they were very convinced of this. They said, let us go and see this thing which is come to pass. And so that's then a lesson for us also. Recognize when God is trying to show you something, but then seek what God is trying to show you. Don't just let that message pass by. Don't just say, well, that preaching was for someone else. No, God is trying to speak to you every single day. He's trying to get a message through to you in your life every single day. So seek what God is trying to show you. And that's what they did in verse 15. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. They knew they couldn't stay out there in the field. They had to go and do this. They had to go and see this. And so they sought out what God was showing them. Psalm 111, verse 2, it says, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of them that have pleasure therein. You see, those that have pleasure, or an interest, you could say, in the works of the Lord, what God is trying to accomplish in this earth and in their lives specifically, those that have that interest, that pleasure in it, what do? They seek it out. It is sought out of them that have pleasure therein. The works of the Lord are great. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." You see, God tries to get messages through to us, but he also gives us the ability to choose. Do we want to hear it or not? And his message may not always be coming. There may be a time where he says, they're not really interested. I won't keep beating them over the head with the same message then. I'll let them have their way a little bit. And so, seek the Lord, friend, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Because if you keep pushing God away in your life, then he's going to be a little further away, a little further, and a little further the more you push. Seek him while he's near. So seek what God is trying to show you. Recognize when God is trying to show you something. These witnesses were convinced of these things. Number three, they were not just simple, convinced, but also enthusiastic witnesses. Enthusiastic witnesses. You see, the joy of the shepherds could not be contained. Verses 15 through 16, again, they said, "Let us now go." They weren't going to wait. They weren't going to hesitate. They didn't say anything about, "Let's gather all the sheep back together." They said, "Let's go. Let's go do this and see this." And verse 16, "And they came with haste." I think they were running. I think they were in a hurry, no doubt, because the word says that they were. They came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 20, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." They were glorifying, they were praising God. Obviously, there was joy in the hearts of these people. They couldn't contain it. And so they were enthusiastic witnesses. They not only were convinced of the message that they bore, but they shared the good news with enthusiasm, with joy. And folks, we have a message that we're supposed to be sharing. We have something to witness of in our day, the birth of the Savior. And if we don't share with enthusiasm, the good news is not going to be received as good news. In fact, it may not even be heard, because people will say, these witnesses, these Christians, don't really live like they believe that. You see, there needs to be some energy. There needs to be some joy in our witness. They couldn't contain it. And I wonder about us sometimes as we have opportunity to share. I know not every situation is as exciting as others. Sometimes you feel like, boy, you're sharing the good news with someone right in front of you, and they're just not getting it. They're not interested. And it's hard to be excited in that conversation. I understand that. But then other times, I hope you've experienced it, you're sharing with someone, and they're asking genuine questions. They're not being distracted by the vehicles that go by or the commotion. They're actually locked in on this good news. You can tell the Lord is working. They're opening up their heart just a little bit. And when you have an opportunity to share the good news with someone that is receiving it, just a little bit like that, oh, it just is so thrilling, is it not? It just gives you enthusiasm as you're sharing the good news. But our enthusiasm to be witnesses for God should not be contingent upon how it's being received. You see, we've got to remember the power of this message, the power of the gospel, the power of the news that God himself came to this earth with a purpose to save the world from the sins of the world. You see, when we let that sink in and we let that realization grip us, then that ought to bring us enthusiasm. And we have to share good news with enthusiasm, or it's not going to be taken as good news. So the joy of the shepherds could not be contained. They were simple witnesses. They were convinced witnesses. They were enthusiastic witnesses. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Do it with your might. Do it like you mean it. Even sharing the gospel. Psalm 107, verse 8, 15, and 21. Three times in that psalm it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Why? Because it's good news. What God has done, what we have to share with the world, is life-changing. It's the answer. In fact, it's the only thing that will really bring them hope. We have good news to share, and so let's do it with enthusiasm. Number four, finally, I want us to notice that these shepherds were honest witnesses. They were honest witnesses. In Family Devos last night, we were going through this story, and it just stuck out to me how these simple witnesses just shared what they saw. They didn't add to the message. They didn't make something up. What they saw was pretty spectacular. But they were just honest people. They didn't add to the message. They simply told what they had heard and seen. The message that they were given was the message that they shared. Verses 17 through 18, it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." So they were simply communicating what they had seen. They were communication lines. The Lord used them as witnesses. They saw it and they told about it, and all those that heard it wondered at those things. It says later in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Now, were they witnessing as they returned? I'm not quite sure. No doubt, I think they probably were. If they ran across somebody as they were returning out to the fields, they probably told them. Considering the haste that they had and the excitement, enthusiasm that they had. But certainly, as they were putting all these things together in their minds and gathering back together and heading back to their sheep, they glorified and praised God for the things that they heard, the things that they saw, and simply as it was told unto them. They were honest witnesses, I believe. And they simply gave the message that they had received. And that's a good practice for you and I as well. Because God did not call us to come up with some new gospel. God did not call us to write the Bible. He did it. He already gave the message. What he's called us to do is simply take his words and share them with the world. Take his message and transmit it on to those who need to hear what God has said. And so we see here that God's plan for redemption does not need any modifications from you and I. One of the biggest ways, and the main reason I mentioned this morning, one of the biggest ways that men have tried to modify God's plan of redemption is by putting some kind of requirement in there to do good works. Do you realize that the Bible says, as we've already covered in John 3:16, that you can have eternal life by simply putting your faith in what Jesus has already done? You see, Jesus took your place. He paid for your sins by dying in your place. And the Bible teaches us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It doesn't say whosoever believeth in him and goes to church. Whosoever believeth in him and gives money to those in need. Or whatever else you want to put in there. It doesn't say any of those things because God's plan does not need any modifications. And these were some honest witnesses there. They simply gave what they had heard, seen, and as it was told unto them. And so let's be very careful that we don't add to the gospel. There are many who try to do this in our day. And as a result, there are many who don't know how simple the good news is. And they don't realize that it's simple faith in Christ. Instead, they're living their lives trying to be as good as they can. Is being good wrong? No, it's a good thing. But it doesn't earn you favor and in eternal forgiveness for your sins before a holy God. It does not do that. The only way to receive forgiveness for your sins is through the work that Jesus already did, not the work that you could try to do. And so I ask you, friend, have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins? Jesus alone. Or have you allowed to get into your thinking just a little bit of that error that you need to be something, you need to do something, you need to be good enough to a certain level to receive God's forgiveness? You see, God's plan does not need any modifications, and the Bible makes it clear that in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Listen to that again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, that verse just so clearly refutes that thinking that is so prevalent out there that you need to add to the gospel to be saved. You need to do some kind of good thing. You need to be some kind of exceptional person to earn God's forgiveness. The fact of the matter is you can't earn God's forgiveness because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Bible says. The only way to receive God's forgiveness is by trusting in what Jesus has already done. So have you ever done that? I trust if you've never done that today that you would realize, recognize that God is trying to show you something. There are many other verses we could go to in the Bible that teach this to be the truth. That it's only through Jesus, it's not through anything else. It's only through Jesus, not Jesus plus this and that. There are many places in the Bible, and would you recognize today, maybe you hear God is trying to show you that. And then would you seek what God is trying to show you? Would you accept that as the truth today and be saved? Some try to add to the gospel, but God never required more than simple faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we close this Christmas morning service, I want you to go away thinking that God's called us to be witnesses as well. Here were the first witnesses of the birth of Jesus Christ, and they did a pretty good job about it. And my heart's desire is that we would be good, faithful witnesses as well. We're simple. These were simple witnesses. Are we convinced? I hope we are. Let's be convinced of what we have to witness. And then let's be enthusiastic about it. And also honest witnesses. Let's simply tell what God has said. Let's simply give the message that he has come He loved the world. He died for the sins of the world. He came back to life to prove he was victorious over the power of sin. And men and women just simply need to put their trust in what he did to receive the gift of eternal life. Would you be a faithful witness this Christmas as the first witnesses were? Would you seek the Lord? That's God's message for us and what we should do with it. We need to be witnesses for him. But above all else in this morning service, I want us to go from here worshiping the Lord, continuing to praise him for what he has done as we celebrate the birth of Christ. And so I trust that that would be you would recognize that as the need of this hour, that God be glorified and worshiped, celebrated as he sent his gift into this world during Christmas. Thank you so much for coming. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, and we'll go ahead and just close in prayer this morning. I trust that you will be able to have some time even today to celebrate the birth of Christ, but all the celebration that we like to have, that it will not de-emphasize what this time is really all about, and that is the Savior. And so I trust you'd be able to take some time to emphasize that even in your own mind and heart today. Let's bow in prayer. God, we thank you for Christmas Day. We thank you for what you have done. And Lord, I thank you that what those first witnesses spoke of was a simple message that we could all receive. For all people, the Bible said. And so, God, I pray that if there's someone here that has not yet received that simple message, how you died for the sins of the world, and they just need to trust in you, what you already did for them, not what they could try to do themselves. Lord, if there's someone here who's not yet received that truth, Lord, would you help them to see it today? Would you help them to now trust in you and be saved today? Lord, help us to go from here to being faithful witnesses for you as the shepherds were. And Lord, we want to glorify you and celebrate you the remainder of this day. We ask for your help in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed and merry.